welcome back to another exciting episode of the Captain America Minute, where we examine the 2011 Joe Johnston-directed feature, Captain America, the First Avenger, at the rate of 1 minute of screen time per episode. I'm one of your hosts just a few miles from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. This is Jim O'Kane of TVDads.com.
And I'm Hal Bryan, an airplane nerd from the home of the Experimental Aircraft Association here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And I'm Brian Fees, a graphic novelist and lifelong Avengers comic book reader.
And we're sitting in a bombed out, well, you know, it's the same old story, London after midnight. Well, not that London after midnight's a different story. But here we are just, I guess, morosing with Steve. So, Hal, flesh this out a little bit more for us.
Minute 91. In the rubble-strewn ruins of a bombed-out pub in central London, Steve Rogers sits at a battered table, a bottle and a glass before him, his voice heavy with regret. My muscles. It would affect my cells, create a protective system of regeneration and healing, which means I can't get drunk. Did you know that? Peggy Carter pulls up a creaking chair and sits, her eyes steady on him. Your metabolism burns 4 times faster than the average person. He thought it could be one of the side effects. Silence falls. Steve's face is etched with remorse over Bucky's loss. Peggy leans forward, her tone gentle but firm. It wasn't your fault. Did you read the report? Steve asks, his voice sharp. Yes, Peggy replies. He scoffs. Then you know that's not true. You did everything you could, Peggy insists. Did you believe in your friend? Did you respect him? Then stop blaming yourself. Allow Bonds the dignity of his choice. He damn well must have thought you were worth it. Steve comes to a decision. I'm going after Schmidt, he says.
Them's fighting words.
Please for a minute break.
Yeah.
another really good break there.
Yeah. It's a... Why doesn't Peggy just give him a hug?
It's all he needs.
Yeah.
It really is all he needs. But it's, we talk about these wonderful scenes between the two of them, and just as we watch things develop and things. What I love about this is that, I'm not sure how to quite how to put this, but that Steve has the confidence to be this down and this sad and like down on himself in front of Peggy and somebody with with what he thinks maybe sort of an unrequited crush like that. An instinct for an insecure person is going to be to just say, I'm fine. Yeah, you're right. But for Steve to, stick to his guns and argue with her a little bit, even knowing, how much he looks up to her and how much he reveres her. To me, that's a sign that he's more comfortable around her. It's a sign, it's tragic circumstances. And you hate to see the guy suffer. But for me, that there's a confidence there that, maybe skinny Steve, the first time a pretty girl made eyes at him, I don't know if he would have had that.
It is an evolution in the relationship that he's secure enough to be vulnerable to her. And we all remember the early Captain America or even Skinny Steve from earlier in the movie that was stammering and hemming and hawing and saying the wrong stupid thing in front of this beautiful woman. And this Steve isn't like that. He's had some experience. He's had some combat experience. He's been with her, spent quite a bit of time with her. And I don't know how he regards them, but they certainly strike me as being good friends here. They're good friends, maybe romantic partners, but definitely good friends, right? Which is, as all us happily married fellas know, is a big part of being, being in love with someone.
Yeah. It's a crucial foundation.
Yeah. One thing, besides all this activity that's happening, I just keep staring at Steve's uniform and I keep thinking about the emblems that he has on his lapels, that's supposed to be the Strategic Science Reserve. But to me, it looks like what was the, back in the mid-40s, the honorable service lapel button that you would get getting out of the Army. It's frequently known as the ruptured duck.
Oh, yeah. It really does have a similar look and feel.
Yeah.
It's hard to, the scene is so murky, it's hard to see. Are you talking about the one just above the US or on his other, on his, what would be his left?
Well, if there's,
the lapel, I get you.
It's on both
below the
lapels.
US.
So below the US.
Yeah.
Yeah. Above the US, that's just a button. And then his, of course, his captain's bars.
His railroad ties there.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, I think you're right. It does look like that.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I don't think he'd be wearing that in 1943 because I don't, they didn't start issuing them until 1944.
But the OSS badge is just kind of a, it's a circle with some wings or something protruding from it. I think that just might be the OSS badge.
Oh. And I'm just chuckling to myself. We had well, as Brian just as we're recording this, just recently did a nice recap post on our Camp Lehigh listeners base about all the guests that we've had. And one of them, an old dear friend of mine, Peter Zink, who we know he didn't work on this film, but if he had, he would have been the guy designing and making that badge into something that you know, presumably isn't real, but fits right in.
I'm trying to think of the aviation logo that looks like as well. It's a circle with wings through it. Is that Wright Aviation?
It's it yeah, so like the Wright Aeronautic Company, it's actually reminiscent also of the Civil Air Patrol insignia.
True, yeah.
If you looked at that, if you imagine that those were three blades of a propeller instead of what looks, what I believe is two wings and then something at the bottom.
Yeah, I said OSS. What in Marvel Universe? It's the Strategic Scientific Reserve, isn't it? And
Yeah.
I just Googled that, and I think that's what we're looking at. It's a circle with an eagle in it, and the wings are
Okay.
protruding from the circle. I think that's what it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. Pratt and Whitney is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, you're Pratt & Whitney, of course. Yeah,
Yeah.
that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and interesting too when you when you know, we use the eagle emblem maybe a bit more sparingly, but certainly the Germans at this time we're leaning heavily into it at the, you know, the Wehrmacht badge with the eagle holding the swastika and things like that. Just some real raw symbolism there. One thing that, and Jim, maybe you know, or maybe you've dug into it. Otherwise, you know, we've got guests in the wings who could tell us, but I'm not sure about his campaign ribbons. We've talked a little bit about that, but I
Yeah,
know he's got the combat infantry badge down below, which is he's been in combat.
that's the
And then of course
blue.
the, that's the blue with the rifle.
Yeah, the
And
blue
then
with
of
the
course the
rifle.
airborne wings above that, that he's qualified for as a paratrooper.
Yeah, and I was confused because the other one looked like it was a Vietnam service badge. I'm not
Yeah,
exactly sure
it
from the
does.
colors. Yeah, it's yeah, he does have the paratrooper the wings. And we know he has jumped out of a bamboo bomber, so it's
BJT,
BH-18, excuse me.
cousin of the bamboo bomber.
Yes.
I would only, I'm only being pedantic about that because I grew up flying a bamboo bomber, and that's, and
Understood.
I would be
And
crucified if I didn't
hopefully you never
comment.
jumped out of one. Well,
Only when it was on the ground. Just a little kid, and it's a pretty big airplane. That step off the wing to the
come
ground
on, Hal,
was
get out
quite
of
a
the
ways.
plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Want my
It's time for
$100 hamburger.
dinners.
Yeah.
Stop making airplane noises.
I had a thought about this minute. One reason I like this minute is it's one of the only concrete examples we have about Steve's abilities. We get Peggy says that his metabolism is four times, what'd she say, faster, better, stronger, four times burns four times
Burn
faster than
times,
the
yeah.
average person's. We don't get a lot of, you know, real facts and data about his capabilities. And that's an interesting one to me. It doesn't talk about his strength. It talks about the speed of his metabolism. And I was reminded of in the comics, there was a period in DC's Flash when he had to eat an immense amount of food to be able to run at, you know, supersonic speeds. He would do a dash, do a mission, run back and forth, and come back and just devour like 27 pizzas. And I wonder if we never see Steve chowing down, but I wonder if he ate four times as much as the average soldier to have a metabolism that burned four times faster.
I mean, and that's got me wondering if we shouldn't send him to our friends in Texas at the big Texas steakhouse.
He could probably set the
He could probably
record.
just do that all day. Well, we know I could, he could do
He
this
could
all day.
do it all day, yeah,
yes, for sure.
I kind of walked into that one, and I'm glad I did.
Give me another
But
fork. I wore this one out, yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, we, you know, and it's interesting too, because as the movies progress, he seems, people have complained that he seems to get stronger and stronger and stronger, from sort of peak human capability to something approaching, certainly not Thor strength or Hulk strength, but maybe, you know, get up there into the Spider-Man realm. And it's an interesting complaint. It happens. Power creep, it's called, as characters age and you push them to the limits of their abilities, and by golly, they get new limits that are higher than their old ones. So I don't know. It's interesting to see that this is early Captain America. This is the origin of Captain America. I sort of attributed his later abilities that seem stronger, better, faster, as him training up properly. Like at this point in
Right.
his career, he's probably had some boxing lessons. He might have learned some judo from somebody somewhere, but he's
Or
not had a
getting beat
lot
up
of.
by, he could have gotten beat up by other people and go, I got to remember that trick next time.
Yeah,
But he
exactly.
hasn't had time to do a lot of martial arts training. I'm thinking maybe when he wakes up later, SHIELD really puts him through it, and
Yeah.
he gets some skills to go along with his natural abilities.
Right. Well, and I think too, it's, you know, I don't think we'd have a super soldier program just to take the skinny Steves of the world and put them in like really good but normal-ish human shape. And I mean, you
Right.
think you've got to, you've it's there's got to be something, there's got to be a bit beyond that. Otherwise, we're not going to have this whole Manhattan Project kind of thing, you know. I mean, unless you're going to sell, you know, protein shakes to all the 90-pound weaklings getting sand kicked in their faces or something out there. I think it's, you know, I've always seen it that he's had superpowers, not Superman powers, but, you know, whatever we decide that threshold is for a super
Yeah,
soldier.
I think that's a good way to look it up. I mean, we've already seen him in this movie holding a motorcycle over his head.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you and I can't do that. I don't know if anybody can do that, but he can do it.
You know, Ken, I don't mean a physical property, but maybe there is something. Is, I mean, I think it's his empathy, but is, what would you class as Captain America's kryptonite? I mean, you can't, that's the problem. Like you were saying, we've been saying in previous episodes how it's really hard to write for perfect heroes.
Yeah, well, he's not physically invulnerable. He's not bulletproof. You could shoot him,
Yeah.
you know.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think it's his compassion for others. So you can take Captain America's legs out from under him by threatening someone, an innocent person. I was going to say somebody he cares about, but it wouldn't have to be. It could just be a kid on a dock, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's his weak point. And
And you look at, you know, here he is having lost his friend, and he thinks it's his fault. So it's his empathy, it's his emotional intelligence, and it's his conscience as well. That's, you know, he's laying all this guilt on himself and trying to get drunk, but his metabolism is too fast. And
Of course, one
so,
could argue that those are all good things that make him who he is and make him, you
right.
know, better than the rest of us as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think those are, they're not flaws, but they are exploitable weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's tough. And the other thing that I'm sorry I keep going off on these non sequitur tangents, but where does Peggy must have a great hairstylist somewhere back at the barracks, because she looks like she just stepped out of, like, the, you know, the gala, the Met Gala or something. Her hair is absolutely spot on perfect, and bombs have been dropping the night before. I mean, this place looks recently bombed. It hasn't been bombed weeks ago, and then he's clearing up the rubble.
Although the hairstylist works in the same Quonset hut as the tailor and seamstress, you
Yes.
know, who
And
designs her
and the
uniforms.
laundry, yeah, and the laundry that presses
Yes.
those creases so well.
And don't
Yeah.
forget makeup and things.
Makeup, yeah. Hair and
And
makeup. There's a
yeah.
war on, mister.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of Aquanet comes into play too, to just hold that coif perfectly in place. Yeah.
Did they have Aquanet back then, or was it
I don't
just
know when that came
plain old
around.
cornstarch? Stand
To
by,
the internet.
keep talking material.
Yes. So, Brian, how about that
1961.
hairspray? Okay. Was Aquanet
Oh,
a
that's
60?
Aquanet.
Well,
But there must have been something before
there must have
that.
been
Well, it was
other.
invented by the Rayette Company of St. Paul, Minnesota
Okay.
in 1950. Rayette
Oh,
was
get them on
founded
the horn,
by,
Jim. Yeah,
well,
get
we got to
on.
reach out
This
to,
is what we
I
do.
think the
We got to find their
chemist
predecessor.
Raymond Lee specialized in professional hair care products, including shampoo and hair coloring.
Yeah.
So this guy had, oh, he was the whole nine yards, or the whole, I don't know, whatever, 40 curls.
But something had to keep those 18th century wigs starched up, you know.
I would have thought that it was cornstarch. I mean, regular old cornstarch would probably do it. And
I mean, certainly men had Brill cream by this point. So what were women putting in their hair in the 40s to hold it in place?
Axle grease.
loudly supported by Vince Neil of Motley Crue, giving you a quote: "I dyed my hair platinum blonde. My hairstylist would help me fluff it up by teasing it and using Aquanet hairspray. It would be just towering, 6 to 8 inches high.
Good Lord, and flammable too.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the 1960s, Aquanet. Let me take a guess. Who advertised in Aquanet commercials? Who would you get to advertise?
You mean a person?
A small group, non-musical group.
Oh, I was going to say Telly Savalas, but
no. Okay, so you're all sitting down. The Three Stooges did Aquanet commercials, apparently. So there you have it.
Want to look like Curly Joe? Here you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And just,
for that, for oily, of, dry, or extra Larry Fine here.
Extra. I was going to say, I was thinking of extra Larry Fine. I was thinking of George Costanza and Seinfeld complaining about his baldingness. And he said, no one walks into a hairstylist and says, give me the Larry Fine. and yet, little did he know that he was a spokesperson.
Wow, that's great.
That's
we discussed this last minute, so I won't belabor the point. But I love these quiet scenes, these quiet moments of character building. And Steve goes through a little arc here, from being depressed and morose, as you said in your intro, to resolution, to being resolved to do something about Schmidt. He goes from sadness to anger in a pretty brief bit here. Prompted by Carter, who knows him.
Yeah,
I was going to say she knows which buttons to push, but she's not manipulating him. She's just having a conversation with him and sort of tells him what she knows he needs to hear.
Right.
St. John Bosco, who was a priest in the 19th century, said that the role of a sermon is not for actually the role of a preacher is not to have people walking out of the church saying, what a lovely sermon, but saying to themselves, I must do something. And that's kind of where Peggy's kind of preaching to, she's lining everything up for Steve. And it's like, look, it's not your fault. It's nobody's fault. How are you going to honor his memory? So instead of saying, well, you've said some nice things there. No, he says to himself, I'm going to go get, I've got to get to Act Three.
One of the things I thought was interesting was Peggy says he must have thought you were worth it. I think Bucky thought the mission was worth it. I don't know if Bucky was doing anything for Steve. I mean, he was happy to follow Steve's leadership. But, I think you'd say the same thing about Bucky as you'd say about any soldier. He was trying to complete the mission.
Yeah. Bucky. Bucky did have strong feelings for Steve, and the last thing he wanted to do is make Steve feel guilty about where he was.
Right.
I think Bucky would have forgiven him if he hadn't. Well, if he still remembered who he was when they dug him out of that canyon.
Wow. I agree.
Wow. Well, I think we've really covered all that can be covered in this. I do like the fact there are, as you were saying, there were no special effects in this. It's just two people having a chat about some of the most important things in their lives. And it's a nice break, which is,
and that's why we care about them. And it's a somber scene, and the lighting is somber. It's almost impenetrable. I mean, it's dark in there. We were trying to puzzle out the badges on the uniform. I can barely see them in the clip. And it's beautifully shot by Joe Johnston. It could be, if he turned the lights up another 20 watts, it might have given it a whole different feel and look, but this is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's back when things could be dark without being muddy.
Exactly.
My grumpy old man take on modern movies is just way too much no contrast.
And Brian, you're always good to call out the color palette. Now, that is something I think is interesting in this. It is dark and it's somber and it's, sort of desaturated. The only light sources, when we're at a longer shot, the light sources we see is some windows from the outside, and those have some blue or some stark white and some more of a blue color temperature to them. But it's still amazing to me that we do all of this with still a warm palette.
Yeah, it just occurs to me.
Richest browns and.
It just occurs to me, I'm looking at it, there's kind of a long shot here, and we know it's Steve and Peggy sitting in a wrecked bar, but it almost looks like a church, man, with you know, light streaming in the windows and no other interior light sources that we can see. It's almost like they're sitting in a church together, having, as Jim said, a little, Peggy's preaching a little sermon here that stirs Steve to action. And I like that.
Yeah, that's a great call out. And, you know, when in England, I would presume that some of the most powerful moments happen in one of those two places, the pub or the church.
Yeah. I do feel bad about the chandelier, though. That looks like a heck of a lamp when it's hanging off the ceiling. a lot to clean, though.
Aren't those Nazis?
Yeah. Someday it'll be a better day, and they'll clean up the pub.
I'm really coming to the conclusion that they were not good people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just now.
Bad guy. Wow.
I don't rush to judgment, Brian.
No, we haven't seen the rest of the movie yet. Wow. Well, anyway, if you'd like to continue this discussion for some reason, I'd like to invite you back. We're always available at Camp Lehigh, the Captain America Minute listeners base over on Facebook. If you do like the show, please don't forget to subscribe. We're more than halfway through. Leave a like at the podcast streaming service where you found this episode. Also, please check out our great big website, capminute.com, for the latest about our podcast topics and guests. And be sure to join us here next time on the Captain America Minute.
Do this all day.